listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Well, hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast. My name is Daniel Bobinski, editor of True Idaho News. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a special edition of our podcast. Normally, we release podcasts on Monday, but since the session has started, the legislative session has started, here we are a couple days in. Wanted to get a kind of a review of the first couple of days and what some of the hot buttons are. With me today is my standard co-host, Josh Gibbons. Hello, Josh. How are you doing?
Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
It's doing well. And special guest today, Representative Tammy Nichols. Representative Nichols, welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. We've been hearing some things. I know Josh has been really busy this week, busier than normal. Those who listened to the last podcast know that I spent some time in the hospital this past weekend, and I think I'm more than 90%, but I'm still running on catching up on getting other things done. So I've not had time to make it down to the state house, surprisingly, but you have. And so we thought we'd try to get some insights from you as to what's going on so our listeners can find out what's really going on down there.
Right. Yeah, I'm practically living there now. So,
oh gosh, you guys have been living there for a couple months now.
Yep, we will
so
be.
What's the hot thing? The governor spoke on Monday, right?
Correct. Yep. He gave the state of the state. So the first day of the legislation session for 2022 started on Monday, and the state of the state was given that afternoon. And yes, the governor came out with all, we do have a lot of money in our state right now that is, here, and most of that is federal money. And he's got some big plans with all this money on what to do with it. So
isn't it amazing? Yeah. You give a politician, most politicians, money, mm-hmm. and they want to spend it.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Even if it's extra money. I just saw something today that we're like $1.9 billion in the black. We've got almost a $2 billion surplus in Idaho, which belongs to Idahoans.
Well, that's what some of us think, you know, that money does belong to Idahoans and it should go back to Idahoans. But unfortunately, that's not the flavor for everyone at the Capitol. Instead, they want to spend lots of money and spend it on lots of different things. And the taxpayers of Idaho are really not put into that equation, unfortunately.
Which is sad, if you ask me. Now, I did see some of the videos. I have been able to log on and catch some videos here and there. I did see a presentation where Representative Ron Nate was talking about grocery tax and property tax relief. Getting, I guess Idaho is like one of five states in the nation that has full tax on groceries.
Correct. Yeah. Well, and let me just give a little more insight in regards to Monday as well. Monday at 10 o'clock, the Idaho Conservative Agenda was also presented. And this is something that we started doing not too long ago. Last year was the first year we really put it out, but we wanted to do it again. And we have approximately 31 legislators that have signed on to this conservative agenda. And, you know, we've been hearing from our constituents for a few years now the need for tax relief, especially in the form of property tax. And that is one of the big issues that we have still not been able to address. Now, last session, Representative Skog had a really good property tax relief bill, and he was not allowed to introduce that bill into the Revenue and Taxation Committee. Chairman Harris would not allow that to happen, and I sit on that committee. And that had a lot of support, that bill did. I think we were close to about 50 legislators that were in support of that tax relief bill.
50 legislators is enough to pass it. Why do we know why Chairman Harris wouldn't hear it?
Well, yeah, because leadership had their bill that they wanted to present. It was approximately 24 pages, and we were given that bill. It was introduced as an RS in the Revenue and Taxation Committee in the morning, and it was on the floor that afternoon. And so it was rushed through. Nobody had any time really to read it or to, look to see how that was going to impact their districts or talk to their cities and counties about it. There was no time given. There was also a Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee that was also done last year. And they were supposed to come up with ideas on what to do to help with the property tax issue. Nothing came out of that. And so I voted against that bill, both in the committee and on the floor, because I really felt that it was a disservice to the taxpayers of Idaho. It was not going to really address the issue of property taxes. And it was something that was rushed through so quickly, I felt that it was almost like Pelosi, where she says you have to pass it to see what's in it, because nobody had time to really look into what was in that bill. And
I'm going to interrupt you here. I'm going to interrupt you here, Representative, in that I think that's an excellent example of the kind of corruption that we have at the even in the House in House leadership.
Yes, it's unfortunate, but we are seeing that. And I will lead that into this year, this session. Again, taxes are an issue. We do need to address property tax, and we do need to give tax relief to the people of Idaho. Now, Representative Ron Nate has put together, again, a grocery tax credit bill to repeal the grocery tax. And he is trying to get that bill introduced into the Revenue and Taxation Committee. And again, he's being met with resistance by Chairman Harris, who does not want to allow that bill, because somehow it has been brought to our attention that the people of Idaho want income tax reduction, not property tax reduction, not grocery tax repeal, but they want income tax reduction. Now, I can tell you, myself, and I have talked to several of my legislative counterparts, nobody that I've talked to has had any request for income tax reduction.
No, so, I haven't. Josh, have you? Has anybody in your circles been talking about income tax reduction?
No, in my circles, it's all been property tax reduction.
Yeah, same here.
Exactly. So we know the grocery tax repeal. Now, there's a few changes that we want to make this year where people can still get the credit. It would just remove the tax from groceries. And that's a low-hanging fruit. That's an easy one to do. Idaho has passed grocery tax repeals in the past.
Back in 2017, yes.
Correct. And it was vetoed by the governor. It was vetoed late. And it went to court, and the Supreme Court went ahead and gave him a slap on the wrist and said, just, don't do it again.
So for those who might not know the details on that the governor has 10 days to veto a bill or it becomes law.
Right.
And he sat on it, and he waited until the 11th day to veto it, which, according to our Constitution, it should have become law.
Correct.
But as you said, the Supreme Court just slapped his wrist and said, oh, bad boy, don't do that again.
Exactly. So we've done it before, and it was passed by both the House and Senate, veto-proof majority, all that jazz. And so it did well. So this is a great time, especially with the inflation that we have going on and food prices going up, to be able to give people that relief. Now, we can also, because of all the money that we have, we can also, in conjunction with that, do a good property tax relief bill. But again, the problem is Chairman Harris will not allow that to happen, because leadership and the governor do not want to do that. They want income tax reform.
I don't know where that's coming from. I just don't know.
And well, and funny enough, in my Revenue and Taxation Committee today was our first day we met, we had magically an RS for an income tax repeal bill. And again, this bill, as I'm going through it, is giving breadcrumbs back to the taxpayers of Idaho. They get $75 or 12% of what they paid in their income tax back to them. And so this is just breadcrumbs being thrown. It's an election year. The governor, I believe, is hoping that he can appease people with breadcrumbs.
I'm laughing. $75. We've got almost $2 billion in excess.
Exactly.
And we're going to get $75 back.
Woo! Exactly. Yeah. Whoopee.
Well, hang on a second, because before I ask the question, I do have to give a couple of shouts out to our sponsors. Let's give a shout out to Tom Lopak with Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. He is a Triple Diamond sponsor of the podcast. He does window cleaning, screen repair, gutter cleaning, and power washing. Give Tom a call at 208-401-6265. That's 401-6265. Tell him you heard about it on the True Idaho News podcast. You're going to get 10% off. That's where you'll be able to spend that $75 that the governor gives back to you. Get your windows cleaned from Tom Lopak at Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. So my question to your Representative Nichols is this property tax, grocery tax thing. I know Representative Nate's been talking about grocery tax. And I was totally behind that 100%. And then someone brought to my attention property tax. They said, you know what? Idaho's kind of a tourist destination for a lot of people. They come here for skiing vacations or hunting vacations or whitewater rafting, and they buy groceries. And so we actually get money from people coming to the state. It would be better for us as Idahoans if we had property tax, especially given all of the increase in property values lately. We don't need all that big increase in taxes. We can stay with what we had. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I've heard that argument, and there is some truth to that. The other side of the coin you have to look at, though, is that Idaho is a state that is surrounded by other states. And we have states around us that do not tax groceries or only tax certain types of groceries. And so, unfortunately, a lot of our bordering cities and towns, they have been losing business over the last many years. And there's been little mom and pop grocery stores that have had to close down because people can go across the border and buy their groceries tax free or with little tax on it. So that's one of the other issues that we have that would help. That would help us and help our small businesses, the smallest of our businesses, those towns and communities. The other thing is that, you know, like I said, we have inflation. Food prices have gone up. The government is getting more money now because of the price of food. So they're collecting that tax on groceries, and people are having to pay more out of their pockets for the food that they're buying currently. So, and usually, you know, with taxes, you know, we do have people that are on government programs and government assistance, and so they don't have to pay tax on that. But they still do have to buy food that isn't provided for them through other means. And so it's one of those win-wins for everybody. And again, you know, we're now looking at just eliminating the tax on food, but still giving people the tax credit, which will help everybody.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, with a $2 billion budget, I'm off by $100 million there, but essentially a $2 billion surplus.
And I think we can afford do property tax relief as well.
I think we can do both. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so that's one of the big issues that we have currently that we're looking at and trying to maneuver around. So,
well, I am also curious about some of the other agenda items that this conservative, what kind of name do you have for this conservative group? Is there a name for it?
So we just call it the Idaho Conservative Agenda. And different legislators give input on different types of bills that they're interested in working on or running. We have categories of bills that or ideas that restore freedom, lower taxes, give less government. And I think, yeah, those are the three categories that we have. So restore freedom, lower taxes, and less government. You know, legislators, everybody had the opportunity to give input, and everybody had the opportunity to sign on to the agenda. Some chose not to actually sign on that they support the agenda, but they didn't want to sign on for particular reasons. Others just didn't want anything to do with it whatsoever. But again, we have, I believe, 31 legislators, including two senators, that did participate in it and sign on onto the agenda.
Is that more than last year?
It is more than last year. So that's really good.
Yeah, I think that is good. I think it's a good sign. It's a good trend that we have more people who are willing to step up and say, I support the conservative values that are part of Idaho's culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we have people flocking here from all sorts of different states, and they're coming here because Idaho is supposed to be this freedom-loving, red, conservative state, and that we promote conservative, freedom-loving ideals and government. You know, but as people are coming here, they're finding that that's just not exactly the case. There is a group of us that do, but unfortunately, you know, our state is fairly red, but our government is fairly blue. So so it's an interesting mix there. And people, when they get here, start realizing that that it's not as rosy as they thought it was going to
well,
be.
I'm going to say that I think our government is fairly blue, but they still have R's after their names because many have realized that they can't get elected in this state unless they have an R after their name.
Yep, there's Republicans in both parties.
Sad way to say it.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's true. And this is an election year. So usually when it's an election year, there's things that take place that, you know, they're on better behavior, I'll put it that way, than maybe they are the years that they're not having elections.
Well, I'm going to.
So it makes it interesting.
I've got a point to make here, but I do have to give another shout out to another one of our sponsors, and that is BH Consulting. Brian Hay is a computer guru specialist. He can fix your computers remotely. He can come out to your house. He does software repairs, virus removal. He does system updates, reinstalls, anything you need to do with your computer, networking, etc. for home or office. Give bhconsulting.us a visit. That's bhconsulting.us. Contact Brian at 408-529-1299. That's 408-529-1299. Brian is a staunch conservative, strong supporter of True Idaho News. He's been living in Idaho for about 4 years now and a solid guy who loves what's going on in this state. And he loves what we're doing. And he's becoming a triple diamond sponsor here for True Idaho News and our podcast. We thank him for that. If you have computer needs, give Brian a call. Where I was going with that, Representative Nichols, was how to get involved in the political process, because we have these people, as you say, there's Republicans in both parties, and we are recording this podcast via Zoom. And I noticed that your picture on your Zoom is a shirt that says 1/20, mm-hmm. 1/20th. Could you please explain that for our listeners so we can elaborate on this a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So unfortunately, just like you're saying, we do have quite a mix in the Republican Party. And in Idaho, every district or every county has a pretty much a central committee, or they should. If they don't, they need to get one started. But they have a central committee, and that is part of the Republican Party. And there are precinct committeemen that are elected every 2 years to represent the precincts that are within the districts. And out in Canyon County, it's the Canyon County Republican Central Committee. Unfortunately, there's been a issue that has transpired, and something that I've noticed happening more and more, where the real conservative people are being labeled by the establishment people in the Republican Party as libertarian. And they're doing that to try to knock them, to try to make them seem like they're not real Republicans, that they're not true conservatives. And so, unfortunately, not too long ago, it was brought to our attention through a situation that our central committee chairman, who is Patty Syme, she decided that there was about 20 of us within the central committee that she had deemed libertarian and we need to be taken out. So one of my good friends in Canyon County She got some shirts made, or she made a shirt for herself. I want to get one, but it says 1/20, so that we could wear them to our central committee meetings to identify us as we're part of that 1/20.
Hang on a second. Josh.
Yeah.
Am I correct that you are also part of the Republican committee out there in Canyon County?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of the people that they refer to as a rabble rouser, part of that 1/20.
Wow.
Much like Representative Nichols, I have been a little bit of a thorn in the side of the establishment's back. You know, unfortunately with Canyon County, we really are at a split, and there are a lot of people, again, like Representative Nichols said, we're elected to represent the Republicans in our precinct. And here in Canyon County, we have about 500 people average that we're representing. And our job is to bring forward good conservative Republican values and to really represent those. And we have a lot of people who aren't. So when we are doing that, there's those who aren't, who hold power, that look at us and say, you know what? These are the rabble rousers. Instead of going ahead and saying, well, we're not true Republicans following the platform completely, we're just going to label them as extremists. And that's what we've run into. So yes, long answer. I am 1/20.
So I've got Representative Nichols 1/20, and I've got Josh, you're 1/20. I have 10% of you guys here on the podcast.
You do. You're so lucky, you know, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that they want to, you know, play that way. Unfortunately, it has caused quite a rift within the party. There's a lot of friction within the Republican Party here.
Well, let's clarify a few things, because they are accusing you, and I've read this, so you guys can verify. I have read that they are accusing you of being libertarians who want to bring drugs and legalize marijuana in Idaho. Any truth to that?
You know, I would love to know where they got that from. I have not myself ever really done anything regarding marijuana. I mean, I've gone to some discussions on it, particularly medical marijuana, because that is a topic that comes up in Idaho quite often.
But do you want to legalize recreation use?
No.
Josh, mm-hmm. How about you?
No, absolutely not. You know, it's funny. Again, it goes back to labeling us as extremists. They're trying to change the conversation, because at the end of the day, we're the people who are holding the line with the Republican Party. We're mm-hmm. following the platform. They want to take the eye off of them. So what they do is they will label others who actually follow the Republican platform to the team. They will label us as extremists. And they're going to say things like, they want to legalize marijuana. They want to do all these things.
Let's go on the record. Hey, Daniel. I want you guys on the record. Okay. So I want all of our listeners to know, because you guys are being labeled as libertarians who want all these things. Well, I'm going to go through a couple more. So you're both against legalizing recreational marijuana, which is what they're accusing you of.
Mm-hmm.
What about abortion? They're saying that if you're a libertarian, the libertarian position is pro-abortion. Where you guys stand on that?
Well, I'm pro-life, 100%. But here's the thing, you know, just like in the Republican Party, you know, I know libertarians that are not for recreational marijuana, and they're not for abortion. They have other types of libertarian values.
But this is how they're painting you.
But this is what they're trying to do. And where they get this idea, as Josh was saying, you know, they try to spin it to try to make you. Now, here's a funny thing. We have Republicans in our party. Our state Republican Party a few years ago sent out the platform, the party platform, to Republican candidates, asking them to sign on that they agreed with the party platform. And we have Republicans within our own party, some are elected currently, that refuse to sign that party platform.
Hmm. So maybe it's they that are not the Republicans.
I signed it. My name's on record saying that I support the party platform.
I didn't get Josh's response, though. Josh?
Yeah. Well, let me first off saying that I can confirm that she's signed it. You know, I brought it up in a previous episode we had talking about people who were signed the integrity and affiliation. Tammy Nichols has signed it. I would go as far as saying I'm actually considered more of an extremist. I am a full-on abolitionist. For me, there is no conversation for abortion. Now, we do need people like Representative Nichols, because we do have to gain traction at every opportunity we can. But, you know, in that instance, I'm absolutely 100% against abortion.
So they're lying about you there. Now, the standard libertarian position that they're trying to paint you guys is you're also pro open border. Where do you guys stand on the where do you guys stand on the border?
Absolutely not. I donated money to the wall.
And Josh?
Well, I can't go as far as saying I'm cool like Representative Nichols was saying that I donated to the wall. What I can say is I'm absolutely against having open borders. And I think that, you know, the foundation of a strong country is strong borders.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So I think there's three questions right there. I think it's fair to say we can put this to bed. For those of you throughout the state who are listening and you're hearing these things about Canyon County libertarians trying to take over, here we have 10% of this group right here on the podcast today making clear, unequivocal statements that they are standard, traditional, conservative, platform-following Republicans.
Yes, yes. Yes. And we're the ones, again, like Josh was saying, we're the ones that are trying to keep the party functioning in the way that it's supposed to and trying to keep our state red and conservative. And they don't want that. They want bigger government. They want spending. They want the social programs. Again, we have Republicans in both parties.
You know, I don't want to mention the legislator's name, but I was having a conversation earlier today with somebody who's been there a while and said that never before has the level of corruption been what is seen today.
And I would agree.
It is scary that we have this much corruption. And when you say stuff like here's, you know, Chairman Harris from Revenue and Tax, who will not even consider a bill that, you know, 50 House members want passed, and he won't even bring it up for a hearing because Scott Bedke doesn't want it brought up for a hearing and Governor Little doesn't want it brought up for a hearing. That to me speaks of corruption.
It is. It's complete corruption, and it is power grabbing. And unfortunately, I have talked to Chairman Harris on a few other things when he was on another committee, and he sees himself as a gatekeeper, and that it is him and only him to be able to make those decisions on allowing ideas to come forward. And, you know, here's the funny thing is we're elected. We are all equal in the Capitol, House and Senate. We have all been elected. We are all equal. There, not one of us is better than the other. It doesn't matter if you're chairman or whatever the case may be. But somehow something happens when some of these people are put into these chairmanship positions and they flip 180. It is actually amazing to watch that transpire. And I was told that Chairman Harris, when he first was elected and he got in, he was a really decent guy, and he did not like some of the things that were transpiring. But unfortunately, he got put into a chairmanship position, and he has just jumped right on board with the same mentality. And it really stifles good pieces of legislation. And we're here representing people from different parts of the state. So you would think that different ideas would be welcomed to come forward to try to do what's best for the state as a whole, but instead they want to handpick what those ideas are, and it's their way or no way, and the rest of the ideas and everybody else can just go to the wayside.
We are supposed to have representative government. What you're describing is a statist model.
Exactly. And that does not lead to good things.
Well, let me touch on one more topic. We've been talking here, having a great conversation, by the way, with Representative Tammy Nichols and my co-host, Josh Gibbons. I'm looking at this flyer that came across my desk. And like I said, I could not attend. I had some other business I needed to attend to. But today, and this is being recorded, by the way, on Wednesday evening, late, and this will make it to air Thursday. But we have this presentation that was made today about religious exemptions. And it says equal protection for all children. Now, Mark Johnson from KTV was a moderator, I understand.
And we had that's correct.
Our panelists include the Canyon County Sheriff, Sheriff Donahue, John Gannon, who's a Democrat representative, John Foote, who's from Clackamas County, Oregon, prosecuting attorney. What my question is, what's he doing testifying at an Idaho presentation? Patricia Kempthorne, director of Twiga Foundation and former first lady, wife of Dirk Kempthorne. And then Jim Jones, the bona fide Democrat who calls himself a Republican, who is a former Chief Justice and Attorney General. This is the guy, by the way, who's advocating Democrats switch over and vote Republican in the primary. So like I said, when I say he's a bona fide Democrat, he might as well be. But I saw this lineup of panelists and I'm thinking, this doesn't sound very healthy. Yeah. It says, we join the discussion on limiting religious exemptions so all Idaho children have the opportunity to live. No child should die from medical neglect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I read this. I'm thinking, I'm not sure this sounds like the best thing. They're going to limit religious exemptions. Well, guess what? I've got a friend of mine who is very learned and very experienced, and I trust this person's wisdom explicitly. And this person went and attended and came back and sent me the following. As I just watched this meeting and I listened. And then I went home and watched the meeting with similar topic from 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently they had a similar meeting 6 years ago.
Correct.
And the statement is, when I put aside who is involved and just asked what's the right thing to do, I may fall on their side of the issue. However, big however here, I'm very concerned about a poorly worded bill.
Yeah.
The idea, from what I understand, digging in this a little bit, is that 6 years ago, there was a certain denomination, a certain church that does not believe in medical treatment of kids, and 12 kids had died from not getting medical help. That was the number of kids that had died as of 6 years ago. Best I can figure, and I might be wrong on this, so somebody, if I'm wrong, somebody please contact me and let me know, and we will correct it in a future podcast. But it sounds like we've had no additional deaths from parental neglect, so to speak, in the past 6 years. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding, yes.
And so the question is, to let a kid die from not getting medical health, that is abuse. But then I understand Ron Nate got up at the end and said, if we're really concerned about keeping kids from dying, we need to stop killing them in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at this discussion. I felt it was very, very one-sided. And some of the things that they were saying seemed like they weren't being honest in the discussion anyway. Yeah, here you have a topic, like you're saying, there's a certain religious group that believe in faith healing and will usually not seek medical help and kind of let God's will, you know, take place with whatever transpires. Now, I have heard that some of the situations that transpired where a child did die, that there's more to those stories than what this discussion panel was bringing out. And it was interesting that they had someone from Oregon they weren't actually there physically, they were on Zoom, but that were there to tell us what to do in our state of Idaho, because Oregon's doing so well. So that was kind of interesting. And then, yes, there was a gentleman named Jim Jones that you just talked about, who is the one that's telling Democrats to register as Republicans. He was there long enough to introduce himself, and then he was gone after that. He walked out, and that was the end of it. Yeah. Whoa.
All right.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, they went through the whole discussion, went through this whole panel thing. I understand, you know, some of the points and everything, but in the end, I was left feeling that what was really transpiring is that they were using this topic, this issue, as a guise to further limit religious exemptions and parental rights. And when Representative Nate, who I was sitting close to, stood up and did talk about, you know, this concern, and not only abortion is a great comparison, because if we want to save children, then we should be wanting to save all children, mm-hmm. born and preborn. And one of the comments that was made when this panel was talking and introducing themselves, I don't have it verbatim, but my take from it was that until the child is born, then we're not going to worry about saving them, which that their life doesn't matter until after they're born.
Makes no sense.
So that was kind of the gist that I got from that, unfortunately.
Josh, did you hear about this, Josh?
I did. You know, I really have to weigh in here. I'm not running for office anytime soon, so I don't have to, you know, worry about repercussions of my speaking. And I don't think for any instant Representative Nichols, who is my representative, was doing that. Just to clarify, I've been thoroughly happy with her as my representative, but I do have to weigh in. You know, I've gotten to know some of these families that follow the kind of that faith healing. And I got to tell you, when I look at the Bible, I do see Luke, he was known as the great healer. You know, he was a physician. We are to use the herbs and remedies available. With that said, it is a slippery slope to start telling people how they should view and treat their children. I mean, my goodness, we're talking about right now, we're talking about this plandemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And when are they going to step in and say, hey, you know what, Josh, you haven't had your children vaccinated, so you're clearly not planning and taking care of their health. So now we're going to take your children. I mean, it is a extremely slippery slope. It concerns me. And I've got to tell you, I've gotten to know some of these people. And when we've had some of these deep conversations, these people love their children no different than you and I.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, when they want to pursue what they believe is best for their child and follow their religious beliefs, for me, I think the government needs to stay out of it. Because again, I understand that we have the best of intentions. You know, everybody on that panel probably has the best of intentions with this specific block of discussion. But we've got laws in place to protect children from abuse. We've got these things in place already. So this is something that we need to tread very carefully on. I appreciate having people like Representative Nichols and Representative Nate there understanding it. And I got to tell you, I have to add a little bit more to that. I was interviewing Brent Regan, who is the chairman of Kootenai County Republican Central Committee, on my podcast earlier this week. And one thing he talked about is he filled in for a senator. And he told me it's much like the wave. You know, when you go against the grain, it's really hard. You almost have to hold the handles of your seat. You want to participate in the wave and flow with everybody else. You don't want to be an outsider. So I just have to say, having that understanding, knowing that I've never been a senator, I've never been a representative, I just want to further commend and tell Representative Nichols how much I appreciate her for holding the line and truly considering Idahoans when these discussions happen.
Oh, thanks. No, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, I'm representing a certain area overall, but in essence, each one of us that are in the legislature, we're representing the whole state, you know, and everything that we do, all the decisions that we make there are going to affect everybody in the state in some way, shape, or form. And so to have this kind of a panel discussion, the other thing I found interesting is that Idaho Public Broadcasting actually streamed this online for people to watch. I've never seen that happen for anything like this before. And so I guess now that maybe any group that has something going on at the Capitol can now ask for, you know, Idaho Public Broadcasting to stream it for them, which will be great for, you know, more viewership and for people that maybe not can't get to the Capitol that evening for the event. So anyway, yeah, it was a very interesting discussion. It concerns me greatly. Again, I see this as being used as a guise under, you know, keeping kids safe, protecting kids, when really it's about religious freedom and parental rights. Yeah. And unfortunately, I I've heard some rumors that there are some bills possibly that are floating around, even something along the lines of that your kids can be taken away from you if you don't get the COVID shot for them, or, you know, things like that. And so it concerns me greatly. And since they had this presentation, that really tells me that they're working on something this session to try to pass. So
absolutely. You know, it reminds me of I do a lot of hunting, right? But I also own an AR-15 and I enjoy it. And I think it's a good weapon to have for self-preservation and self-protection in your home. But I know a lot of hunters who will not advocate, and they say, well, you know, AR-15 shouldn't be legal. It's kind of the same concept with this, right?
Yeah.
And this is why I do appreciate the fact that you are thinking about these things. You know, yes, you and I, we're not faith healers. We don't believe in that, right? But you are taking the time to be cautious when you approach the subject, even though it doesn't affect you. So again, I commend you. I appreciate you and appreciate everything you and other representatives who are holding that line and at least considering these things are doing.
Absolutely.
I would applaud what you said earlier, Josh, and that is that there are already laws on the books for what to do if there's a suspected child abuse case. So since those laws already exist, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. We already have systems in place that if you suspect an abusive situation in a home, you can call the appropriate authorities and they can come in and they can take care of it. But that is not what they're talking about here is, like, as Representative Nichols said, removing religious exemptions and removing parental rights. And as my friend commented here, very concerned about a poorly worded bill. So there probably is no need for this whatsoever. And I wouldn't doubt that Representative Nichols is correct, that they probably have other plans in place. And we have a governor right now who, in my opinion, based on his actions, he talks a good talk, but you see what he does.
Yeah.
And he follows the marching orders of the National Governors Association, and they have agreements with the World Economic Forum, and the World Economic Forum does not give a rat's patootie about Idahoans' rights. Not one bit.
Yep. It's unfortunate. And, you know, and like you're saying, you know, and I've been telling everybody this, people have to be involved. The people in the state have to be involved. They have to be following, you know, people don't all care about what's happening in politics and government. They could care less. They want to live their lives. They're busy. They're doing their thing, but it impacts everything that you do. And so people need to take time to at least make it a point to try to be aware of what's transpiring within their own backyards, their state. You know, they can watch what's happening in DC. We have little control of what happens in DC, you know, actually, but we can control what's happening in our state and in our backyards. And that's where people need to really put their attention, I believe, is to be involved and to watch and to speak out when things transpire that are not good for our state or for the people.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to say one more thing, but first, before I do that, and I'll open up the floor if you guys have any other closing comments, but I want to give a shout out to our third Triple Diamond sponsor for True Idaho's. That's Michael Hahn, associate broker with Home River Realty. You know, the real estate market in Boise and Southern, in fact, throughout Idaho is just hot. It's one of the most difficult places to buy a home in the country right now. And when that happens, almost everybody wants to jump into the real estate market. They sell one house and they got enough money to survive on for a year kind of thing. Well, you don't want that. You want somebody who really knows what they're doing. And Michael Hahn's been a real estate broker since 2005. He will assist you in the purchase or sale of a residential or a commercial property. And just give him a call at 208-939-9033. Or you can send him an email at michael.hahn, that's H-O-N, at pm.me. Once again, that's 208-939-9033, or email michael.hahn, H-O-N, at pm.me. And so my specific closing thought has to do with what you guys were talking about earlier, and that is getting involved. You guys are both involved in the Canyon County Republicans because that's where you live. But we have, 44 counties in this state, and every county has precincts, and every precinct needs a precinct committeeman. And what we need in this state is conservative Christian values. John Adams, our second president in this country, said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. In order for this constitution to work well, in order for us to have representative government and not the kind of corruption that we're seeing in the House right now, we need more people who are accountable to a living God to step up and get involved in government. And that means at the very start, becoming a precinct committeeman or an alternate. Maybe you've already got a precinct committeeman. Volunteer to be an alternate. Attend the meetings. Get to know. These are monthly meetings. You can go and find out what's happening in your Republican Party so you can make a difference to move the party to a conservative, constitutionally based system instead of these rhinos who just put an R after their name to get elected so they can have power. We want principles, not power. That's our objective. That's my objective anyways. And I would assume that you guys are following the same. Those are my closing thoughts. Josh, Representative Nichols, do you guys have any closing thoughts?
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I would echo that. You know, it's kind of goes back to what I said earlier. You know, prayer is a powerful thing and we need to utilize that at every opportunity. But also remember that God gave us tools to work within the realms of where we're at. So utilize those tools, make sure you're getting involved, not just at the Republican Party level, but right now, remember, there's hundreds of lobbyists down at the Capitol advocating against your rights and mine. So we need to not only just pray, we need to be down there fighting for what we want here in Idaho and what we want Idaho to look like.
Yeah, I agree with both of your sentiments. You know, and I tell people all the time, please come down to the Capitol while we're there. You know, it is the people's house and people can come down and testify. They can come down and sit in on the meetings. They can see and hear what's going on. One of the fortunate things that we do have in our state is that our representatives are very accessible. Most states, you can't just go in and talk to your representative down at the Capitol or what have you. But here in Idaho, you can. And so it's a great time to be able to go in, talk to your representatives, you know, get to know them. But the one thing I tell people to do is that politicians are great used car salesmen. They will tell you whatever you want to hear and make it sound just as lovely and fluffy as possible. But you really have to look at their actions. You know, there's a lot of great people at the Capitol, but their voting record speaks for itself. And you have to look at how they vote because their actions speak louder than their words. And there's several organizations you can utilize to do that. We have one locally here that's the Idaho Freedom Foundation. You can go on there and they rate and score bills and pieces of legislation. And in turn, that gives legislators a grade, just like you would on a report card. You have the American Conservative Union, which is the largest conservative and oldest conservative organization in the United States. And their scorecard just came out. They grade every state, every legislator, every congressman. And so you can go and look at what their record is there. And then another one is Club for Growth. They're more economical. They're conservative in spending and that type of thing. And they also rate and grade bills and legislators. So there's several pieces, several different organizations that people can turn to look and see how their representatives are voting and how they're scoring. And so people have to know that just because you have an R by your name does not mean that you're conservative. And so look at their voting records. That will tell you a lot.
We have people in this state who have R's after their names who openly on social media platforms call themselves conservative Christian Republicans. But when you look at their voting record, it's darn close to being Democrat. It just is. So and I will repeat this. We've talked about this on previous shows, but the American Conservative Union, which puts together a CPAC every year, which is, you know, I think any Republican would love to get an endorsement from them, right? Mm-hmm. They are actually more generous in their scoring than the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
Yes. So
when people like Jim Jones, the former guy who was Supreme Court Justice and Attorney General, who writes a lot of op-eds in these various newspapers bashing the Idaho Freedom Foundation and how dangerous they are to Idaho. Be intellectually honest. Go look at what the American Conservative Union does with their scoring and how closely it aligns to the Idaho Freedom Foundation. And Jim Jones would never criticize the American Conservative Union. And maybe he would, but he'd be stupid to do so.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So people have to do their work. They have to do their research. This upcoming election, May is the primary. That is the election here in Idaho. And it's going to be pretty hardcore, I think. So people have to do their research. They have to do their homework. And they need to get to know the people that are running for these positions. Plus, we have redistricting. So who knows where everybody's going to end up.
It's going to be a little bit of a flip-flop looking around. And then you know what? Now you made me have one more closing thought. And that is that there are people who tend not to vote in the primaries. They tend to wait until the generals. In Idaho, chances are 80% the Republican is going to be elected. If you want someone who's a conservative who believes in the Constitution, it is time to vote in the Republican primary for the candidate that you want. Yes. And not wait until the generals, because you got people like Jim Jones convincing Democrats to switch over. And then they're going to vote for all the liberal candidates. So really, for a solid constitutional conservative, the primaries are the elections.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Representative Nichols, for joining us.
And, absolutely.
And Josh, my co-host, thanks again for joining me on this podcast.
Always a pleasure.
Definitely a hot podcast. I certainly enjoyed listening to you guys talk, and I want to thank our sponsors. I'm going to put the sponsors' phone numbers in the show notes. I'm also going to put links to the videos of these that presentation we were talking about earlier with the parental rights and the religious exemption thing. So if somebody wants to go evaluate for themselves, they can. I do want to encourage people to do like what Representative Nichols says, go down to the State House, get to know your representatives, sit in on those meetings, find out what's going on. This is a government of, by, and for the people. People mostly forget that it is of and by the people. We need to be involved. This is Daniel Bobinski with the True Idaho News Podcast. I thank you very much for listening. We are copyright 2022 by Shadow Trail Media. We'll catch you next time. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more True News by visiting TrueIdahoNews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit TrueIdahoNews.com/support. Thanks for listening.